Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the iValue Info Solutions Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pratik Jagtap from EY. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but your line is breaking up in between, sir.
Yeah. Now it's audible?
Yes, this is better.
Yeah. So thank you for joining the earnings call of iValue Info Solutions Limited for Q4 FY26. The results have been mailed to you along with the investor presentation, and it will be also available at www.ivaluegroup.com. In case anyone does not have the copy of the investor presentation, please do write to us, and we will be happy to share it with you. We have the top management with us: Mr. Sunil Pillai, Chairman and Managing Director; Mr. Krishnaraj Sharma, Executive Director; and Mr. Swaroop Mualla, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Sunil will start the call with a brief overview and business update, and then Swaroop will take us through the financial performance for the quarter and full year FY26. Then we will open the floor for a Q&A session. Before we start, I would like to remind you that anything that is mentioned on the call that reflects any outlook for the future or which can be construed as a forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual reports that you can find on our website. Having said that, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Sunil. Over to you, Sunil.
Hey, thanks, Pratik. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the quarter four and full year financial year 2026 earnings call. Let me begin with a quick business update for the year gone and the quarter. Financial year 2026 has been a year of strong and consistent execution for iValue, where we delivered gross sales of rupees 2,913.9 crore, a growth of 19.5% on a year-on-year basis, and a PAT of rupees 102.2 crore, a growth of 20% on a year-on-year basis. We are happy to share that our performance has been in line with the projections we made. The growth during the year has been broad-based across all four technology segments. In fact, all our four segments have recorded growth during the year. Cybersecurity continues to remain our core engine with 50% contribution to our top line, which has grown the fastest in this year. While DPI continues to be a key growth accelerator, I'm happy to report 29% growth for quarter four. To give you an outlook for financial year 2027, we see an environment of strong demand across segments. Our qualified opportunity book has reached up to 5,800 crore, with conversion rates in the range of 30%-35%. This gives us strong revenue visibility and margin predictability as we enter financial year 2027. Some of the key focus areas for us as we step into FY2027 are cybersecurity, of course, continues to be our strong focus area with growth around AI. AI security becomes paramount for enterprises. We are working on certain use cases around LLM security, AI governance, AI risk management, and integration of AI into SIEM, SOAR, observability, and threat intel platforms. Apart from AI-led growth, we see strong demand in our cybersecurity vertical. We believe these tailwinds will give us a good start going into financial year 2027. Data center infrastructure continues to remain our primary growth engine, with emerging opportunities in AI data centers, GPU infrastructures across BFSI, enterprise, government, opening new avenues for growth and expansion. AI and next-generation digital infrastructure is rapidly emerging as one of the most transformative technology shifts globally. While there is a hype, but we believe this presents a significant long-term opportunity for iValue. Over the last few quarters, we have been actively strengthening our capability across AI-led infrastructure, GPU computing, cybersecurity, cloud, data management, and high-performance digital platforms to align with evolving enterprise and government requirements. We have a slide detailing our AI strategy, which has been added to the investor presentation. Moving on, geographical expansion. Over the last 3-4 years, we have steadily expanded our presence across the SAARC region. Building on this momentum, we are now evaluating opportunities to enter select ASEAN markets. Our strategy will be measured and paced, initiating operations on a controlled scale to access market viability, customer adoption, and long-term sustainability before committing significant investments for accelerated growth and expansion. Coming to the fifth point, cloud business. Our cloud business, particularly around Google Cloud, continues to remain a strategic focus area and a key long-term growth driver for the organization. During financial year 2026, we successfully built an order book exceeding 300 crores, which provides strong multi-year revenue visibility and is expected to translate into sustained revenues over the next 3 to 5 years. The significance of this business lies not only in the scale of the order book, but also in the quality and the predictability of revenues it brings. Cloud engagement inherently creates deeper customer interaction, integration, high stickiness, recurring consumption-led billing, and long-term managed services opportunity, making this a highly annuity-driven business model with strong margin visibility. With a robust pipeline, increasing enterprise cloud adoption, strong execution capability, and building long-term customer lifecycle value, we believe the cloud business is well-positioned to become one of the most stable and scalable revenue engines for the company over the coming years. As our key differentiators continues to lie in our ability to operate beyond the boundaries of a traditional technology partners, with strong multi-OEM integrator solution capabilities, deep engagement across system integrators and enterprise customers, a robust COE-led pre-sales and solution framework, and domain-led expertise across BFSI, healthcare, manufacturing, and other verticals, we are increasingly positioning ourselves as a strategic technology transformation partner. Looking ahead, we remain highly optimistic about FY27 and expect it to outperform FY26 both in terms of revenue growth and profitability. The confidence stems from a strong executable pipeline, growing annuity-led revenue, accelerating AI and digital infrastructure opportunities, and operating leverage benefits. Our continued focus remains firmly on profitable growth, healthy cash flow generation, disciplined execution, and building a scalable technology-led business with long-term shareholder value creation at its core. Capital allocation and shareholder returns. In line with the strong cash flow generation and improving financial profile of the company, the board continues to evaluate various avenues for long-term value creation, including strategic inorganic opportunities as well as shareholder return initiatives such as dividends or share buybacks. In the event the company does not pursue a suitable inorganic growth opportunity, the board may consider enhancing shareholder returns subject to sustained business performance, cash flow visibility, capital allocation priorities, and requisite approvals. With this, I end my thing, and with that, I will hand over to Swaroop to take you through the financial performance in greater detail. Thank you.
Thank you, Sumit. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining our earnings call. This is our Q4 26 as well as the full year earnings call, which we are going to talk about. Sunil has given a high-level brief about our financial performance. Let me take one step deeper on that. To start with, our gross sales. Our gross sales stood at rupees 2,914 crores, which is around a 19.5% increase over the last year. Our PAT, the PAT which I'm referring to is a normalized PAT, excluding the impact of the one-time cost on account of the new labor code. Excluding that, we are at 102.3 crores, which is almost 20% growth over last year. For Q4, the same top line was around 750 crores, which is again up by 12% over last year. As Sunil mentioned, all four technology segments for us have grown this year, which is a very good positive sign for us. Not just that, all our subsidiaries and regions where we are having various subsidiaries and branches all put together have also grown. Each one of them have grown in this year. Cybersecurity is our largest vertical and also our fastest growing vertical for us in FY26. Cybersecurity contributes around 50% of our total business for us. Our annuity business, which is the recurring revenue business which we have, that also has seen a good growth and it is contributing to around 42.2% of our gross sales this year. Gross margins for us are at 266 crores as compared to 243 crores for the last financial year. Operating leverage. This is one interesting point which I wanted to share with you all. As an organization, over the last 1-2 years, we have made all the necessary investments which are required in terms of manpower, office space, and other relevant aspects for the next coming 2-3 years. Because of this, out of the incremental gross margin which we had in this year as compared to last year, more than 85% of it has come down into our EBITDA. Going forward, we believe that this operating leverage will sustain and more than at least more than 70% of the incremental gross margin will be coming down as an incremental EBITDA directly to us. This at least we see for the next 2-3 years happening like that. New labor code. I have mentioned slightly before about the new labor code. If you see our financial statements as of Q3 26, we have reported a one-time cost of around 5.7 crores due to the incremental cost pertaining to gratuity and leave encashment on account of the new labor code. We have, restructured the salaries of all the people. If you recall during that conversation as well, we said that we'll be doing that exercise, and if there is any benefit or incremental cost, we will just take a call on that in this quarter. Similarly, we have done that exercise where we have gone through the entire restructuring of the salaries in line with the new labor code, and then that has resulted in a saving of 50 lakhs, so, which means that our total cost, one-time cost on account of this new labor code stands at around 5.2 crores. PAT. The PAT for this period is around 102.3 crores before the exceptional hit on account of labor code. This is a 3.5% PAT on our gross sales. Working capital. This year, one of the significant achievements for us as a team are the improvements in the working capital. If you see, our receivables have grown around 17.5%, whereas our top line grew at 20%, which means that our receivables grow slower than our top line, whereas our payables grew at 33%, which is significantly faster than our top line. This is because of favorable payment terms negotiated in certain large deals, certain good collections which we have made in this year. Because of these aspects, our net working capital days has come down to 30 days. In addition to receivables and payables, our inventory was also at significantly lower levels. Last year we were at 12 crores, now it has further come down to 6 crores, which shows our robustness in the operating model in which we are operating. This working capital of 30 days is something which is a very good number to have. While this might not be a very, achievable every year, we would like to have this number sub 40 going forward. Cash position. Because of the improvements in the working capital, we were able to showcase a cash flow from operations of 108 crores. This is the first time in iValue's history where we are able to showcase a cash flow from operations higher than our PAT. Our net cash after adjusting for the debt and borrowings, is around 212 crores for the year. Return ratios. We were able to record best-in-class return ratios of adjusted ROCE, adjusted for net cash, of around 40.5% for the full year, and ROE of around 18%. Another important highlight which I wanted to bring to the attention of everyone is our contingent liabilities. If you see our financials as on 31st March 2025, that is last year financials, we had a contingent liabilities of around 10.7 crores on account of pending disputes with customs and GST and GST authorities. Some of the cases have moved ahead. None of the cases we had an adverse impact, but some of the cases we had favorable judgments, because of which our contingent liability now comes down and it is at 6.3 crores. All in all, what I can say is we had a very good FY26 with growth in top line profitability. We maintained margins. We have showcased and demonstrated our operational discipline and also our focus on cash flows. This helped us in showing all these numbers. Coming to a few points what Sunil has touched upon, and I'm once again touching them. One of the queries which I had amongst our friend investors, either during these calls or otherwise in our NDRs which we do, is about a dividend or a buyback or capital allocation. As Sunil mentioned, the board has, has gone through the cash flows which are there right now. And if in an event we are not able to do any successful inorganic, during this year we'll come out a policy of our dividend or buyback, and then we will see how it can be executed during this year or early next year. Our overall focus for FY27 would be around profitable growth, better balance sheet discipline, and ensuring sustained operating leverage. We believe that our FY27 growth will be faster than the growth recorded in FY26 in terms of both top line and profitability. Thank you. With this, I'll hand over the call to the operator for any Q&As.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Vaibhav Khandelwal with Laburnum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
You are audible, sir. You may proceed.
Yes, Vaibhav.
All right. Thank you. Congratulations on great results. Just wanted to ask, for the quarter four gone by, were there any significant deals that you had maybe done, maybe similar to the GSTN deal?
Varun, hi, good evening. Yes, we do have, because you know, traditionally you know that our Q4 has been a spike in the business. And we do have a little more than a couple of deals, large deals that we cracked in Q4. The execution is still on. We have billed them. The services is still on. That's the reason I'm reserving naming those accounts right now, because there are other listed companies who may want to come out with those names. So hence, I'm reserving those names right now here on this call.
Understood. Thank you. One more question on, you touched upon the capital allocation front, and you had mentioned that you are looking to maybe expand in the ASEAN region. So if, let's say, you know, you do consider any inorganic activity, what would be the key criterion you would look for before acquiring, you know, any targets, synergies, or IRR targets, anything you would have?
So, Vinay, business synergy is of paramount importance to us. We have told us what our focus areas for us in the current year and short term are, which are into cybersecurity, cloud business, DCI business, geography expansions, and all that stuff. If good targets fit into these aspects, I'm sure you'll not find a target which will fit into all the aspects, but in most of the aspects, and we see that there is a management and business synergy across both organizations, we will look at them.
Understood. Sir, one small question for you. I think in the PPT you had mentioned a 40% ROCE or thereabouts. Could you maybe just walk me through how exactly is that being calculated?
So, as I mentioned, this is an adjusted ROCE. The ROCE is adjusted for the net cash. So from the what you call it as your net worth, you are reducing the net cash of 212 crores and then using it for the computation of the ROC.
Understood. Thank you. Those were all my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vinay Menon with Monarch Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. A couple of questions from my side. Can you give me the quarterly update for all the segments? Like what kind of growth did we see this quarter for ALM, ILM, data center, and cybersecurity?
For Q4, you're asking, Vinay?
Yes.
Okay. Q4 versus Q3, the cybersecurity has been flat. DCA has grown up by 225%. ILM is around, ILM has degrown by 70%, and ALM Cloud and others are grown at 80%. This is sequential.
Okay.
If you talk of year on year, cybersecurity has grown by 19%. DCA has grown by 29%. ILM has degrown by 20%. And ALM Cloud and others have grown by approximately 10%.
Okay, that helps. And any kind of OEM additions did we see this quarter? Any new OEMs, or are we working on any deals to add some OEMs?
Over the last 1 year, we have added 6 new OEMs.
Okay, helps.
And details of that are also there in the presentation. You can see that.
Okay. And this quarter, did we see any ASP-related growth? Because, hardware prices have, really come up in the last 2 quarters. So was anything linked with ASPs also this quarter in our growth?
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
No, anything with the ASP, because hardware prices were higher. So we have a decent element of 30-35% of overall mix. So any inflation and that also helping our revenue growth this quarter?
Sunil, you want to
Vinay, when is this quarter, means you are talking about the quarter that's been gone by?
Q4. Yeah.
Q4. No,
yeah.
See, Vinay, fortunately, our hardware are, it is customized for a particular customer. So when the customer places an order, we place the order on the OEM, and since it comes at a customized in a customized manner, then it gets delivered to the customer. So I didn't see any spike in because of that in Q4 at least. But going forward, I don't know whether the trend would continue. But we see our outlook is that we would have a spike in that area also.
Okay. And in terms of the pipeline which you mentioned of 5,800. So this includes all large deals and everything. You mentioned a conversion of 30-35%. Earlier you mentioned about 25-odd%. So are you seeing, more wins? Are we seeing more wins than what we used to? Any indication on that?
See, two things are taking, why we are saying that 30-35%, why we are uplifted that is that we are seeing a two trend in the market. One is that, the customer decision has become slightly faster. And we see that could be because of certain events that happens in the market. Second thing is that our COE has been able to showcase those level of integrated solutions to the customer that is making it faster for them to take decision around it, and which is helping us to get a turnaround time slightly better than what it used to be in the last 4 or 5 years back.
Okay. And one last question, I think Swarup sir, you can take it. I think we had one line item called, long-term receivables, which is about 15 odd crores, which is not there anymore. So has that been received? Just want to get clarity on that.
Okay. That was one specific deal which we have done 2 years ago, where the receivables were spread across multiple years. We have got for the first 2 years, we have gotten. The third year, we have not yet got. But now the third year is less than 12 months. So that will be moved from long-term receivables to short-term.
Okay. That helps. I'll come back in a bit. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Balaji Subramanian with IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of results. So I had two questions. So one is on, you know, you did allude to an acceleration in revenue growth in FY27 from FY26. And, you know, this is despite, you know, what we are hearing in terms of shortages for memory and chips. So when you call for an accelerated profile, does that kind of, you know, factor in any potential, you know, delays in supply and, you know, any supply chain disruptions? That would be number one. Number two would be, how will the, the sharp depreciation in the rupee influence both your top line and EBITDA?
Okay. Balaji, hi. So Balaji, since our 50% of our turnover comes from cybersecurity and it's a necessity more for the customers, from that aspect, we continue to foresee that we will be able to continue to supply the customers on a timely basis. While on the DCI space, maybe potentially that could be a slowdown from the component availability and all. But right now what we see is that we have all the OEMs and as well as the market and the customers, everybody has got tuned to the kind of delay that is happening. So everybody is planning well now. I think there is a lot of agility that has come into that. And by virtue of that, I don't foresee personally any gap there. But in an event, if tomorrow something catastrophically something has to go wrong, that is not in my control. In our control, but nevertheless, right now, as I speak to you, where we don't foresee any kind of a issue, that is what is luring us to say that our outlook for FY financial year 2027 would be slightly better than FY 2026. That is one. Second, as far as the INR to dollar forex that you are talking about, we hedge our dollar to rupee thing. And that is an ongoing thing from the last 18 years. We have been doing it as a practice, and that's a high discipline that we bring in over there. And that has been taken care of to the best of our efforts. And even if there is any aberration, we get back. Our quote that goes to the market is not a long lived quote. It is for 1 week or for 2 days or 3 days. So we are taking care by sending those quotes. So that is a time, that's a period that is mentioned on the quote for those medias. So we are controlling the potential forex changes that happen. We are controlling it, mitigating it by these measures.
Got it. Just a quick follow-up. So the acceleration in FY27 in terms of revenue growth not just somewhat, you know, FX related, but also on an underlying basis. That would be a fair statement to make, right?
I think that sounds very positive, and then we are also keeping those positive outlook for this year.
Okay, got it. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Avnish Tiwari with Vakarya. Please go ahead.
Hi. If you look at your gross profit number in rupees crore, it has grown by about 10% year over year in Q4 and about 9.5% for the full year fiscal 26. So can you articulate the drivers behind this number? How much of it is coming by volumes and how much of it is coming by pricing? And how is the construct we can look at in fiscal 27 for this? Like in terms of drivers, how are they shipping? So that will be really helpful.
Yeah. Thanks, Amish. Okay. Thanks, Amish. Right. Our gross margins, as you mentioned, have grown 10% year on year and 9.5% for the full year basis. For us, if you see our deals, the way in which we operate and all that stuff, as Sunil has mentioned, our one of the uniqueness which we bring onto the table is the multi-OEM solutioning. So we just don't trade in products, but we sell a solution. When we sell a solution to them, it is something where we negotiate the prices on both sides every time. We negotiate the prices with our customers and we negotiate the prices with our vendors every time. So the prices and the margins here are not determined by sheer, what do you call it as, prices increase or volumes. The gross margin has been is negotiated and agreed every time on a deal-to-deal basis. Trust I have answered this question.
Can you give an example of a deal? What role do you play? Like, why can't these enterprises or clients directly buy from OEMs or software cloud providers? Just maybe if you can take an example where you play a pivotal role to structure these transactions.
Let me give a very fundamental example. If you see our entire OEM portfolio, we have signed up with 115 OEMs, with more than 50 OEMs coming from cybersecurity. And if an enterprise is looking for cybersecurity solutions, they will not take products only from a single OEM. They'll have to take products, best-in-class products of multiple OEMs to meet their entire cybersecurity needs of that organization. Now, when you're talking or working on multiple OEMs, you have to understand and identify which combination of OEMs is right for you to meet the right solution. And what you call it as a reach to your cybersecurity requirements, which are there. We understand the underlying IT architecture of the company. We understand the way in which their entire networks, people, and all the things operate. We showcase the products to them and we provide a solution to them. And then we enable them to see how the solution works in our COE so that they can get some sort of a touch and feel of how the cybersecurity solutions which we are giving, the products which we are giving, enable them or keeps their entire environment secure. And basis that, once they like it, they place an order on the system integrator and the system integrator in turn places an order on us. And we procure it from multiple OEMs and then sell it. Along with this sale, we also support them along with the pre-sale services which we spoke about, solutioning and all that stuff. Post-sale and implementation services also we do for them, and we also support them in that activity. This is not a sheer, what you call as a sale of a product per se. If you are looking at specific instances where we have worked and all that stuff, you can refer our presentation. We have given certain case studies of what we have done in certain large deals of ours.
Great. And is your ideal client a mid-corporate or SME, or is it an ideal client is your large corporate, let's say, like Reliance or some of the large corporate, or is it more corporate which are like few thousand crore turnovers where IT departments are not so big? Can you just give a sense of who are your ideal clients in India?
The end customers who use our products are typically at the high end of the pyramid. They will be large enterprise customers plus high end of the mid-market.
Got it. Last question for me. What kind of risks do you underwrite in this? Like what, if any, other competitor of yours where you will do better than them in terms of risk underwriting? It could be receivers, or it could be any other part of business operational activity which is a harder one to do by anybody else. So can you give us understanding what kind of risk you underwrite better here?
So let me classify the risk into two aspects. One is the business risk and one is the financial risk. When I'm talking of financial risk, we take the risk of all the financial aspects like receivables. That means we'll have to pay to the OEM whether we collect it or not. The currency risk. We'll have to pay to the OEM irrespective of what the dollar is, because most of us, our OEMs are outside of India and we pay them in dollars. We take the risk of inventory, which means that while all the orders are customized for a specific end customer, for any reason, after we placing an order on OEM, the end customer or the partner system integrator cancels an order or asks for certain modifications. It is our risk, which we take it on ourselves. And we also see the risk around all the other aspects which are there in terms of contracts and other aspects. Now, coming on to the business risk of it, while we do not, what you call it as, give or sign up any SLAs or anything, these are generally done by the system integrators per se. Once the entire solution is agreed between all the parties, our job is to do delivery and successful post-sale implementation. Other than that, we don't carry any additional risks per se.
Great. Thank you and wish you very well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Stavan Thakkar with Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you expand on that order book of 300 crores and what's the timeline of execution and what segment is that of?
Yeah, hi Pawan, good evening. You're saying the 300 crores of the GCP?
Yeah, I think that's what you mentioned on the opening notes.
Yes, so that 300 crores last year, so we have a booking of 300 crores worth of GCP business. And that comes, and it is based on the workloads that the customer uses it. So every year there will be a workload that keeps moving to the cloud, and based on that, that will be a metering, and based on that, the billing is raised by GCP, and it is notified to the customer, and then we raise the bill on them subsequently. But the commitment of the customer is about 300 crores. While they commit 300 crores, it could likely go up based on the workloads that they take it to the cloud.
Okay, and do we have further commitments from other OEMs like this or other customers?
This is a modeling of the cloud business. So Google is the one that has got this kind of a model. Rest all are slightly in a CapEx model that we carry, and it is sold. And then it is only annuity business, that is a subscription or what you call renewal business that we call it. That is what. And that is about close to 40-45% of our turnover, the renewal business, the annuity business.
Okay. Got it. And how can you help me understand how does your gross margin have sort of a better distribution economics over like maybe a Redington or some other companies like that?
Oh, that is one of the differentiators, and that is coming because of the engagement that we have, the go-to-market strategy that we have, the modeling of business, how we have been conducting it for the last 18 years, where we have BFSI, government, defense, and enterprise vertical practices. We engage with end customers. We take the solutioning route. We don't take just the product route. We are not an off-the-shelf kind of a product company. We curate those solutions. We showcase that to our COE, and customer gets the, as Saurabh mentioned, customer gets the touch and feel of the solution that they are. And we are able to showcase to the customer the impact of this solution and how is it going to be coexist with their network. So these kind of activities and solution architecturing, network architecturing, these kind of things that we do for our OEMs and for our and we develop with our system integrator, that helps us to garner that extra point, and hence we have been able to maintain the kind of margins that we are showing.
Okay, and do you see them being stable over the next few years, or do you see them rising as well with your added value or whatever?
Bhavan, honestly, unfortunately, we have been able to sustain those levels of margins over a period of years that we have been doing. And obviously with a great hope that it can, if wish that it can go up also.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Hemant Kothari with Origin Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, I have just a question on a gross margin. As you have said that the gross margin is negotiated on deal-to-deal basis, so on a if I look at YOY FY26, your gross margin declined by around 90 bps. So what was the reason for this? Is there any pressure from the OEM or from the customer side?
So if you see on a quarter on quarter basis, we did have an hiccup in the quarter one, Q1 of FY2026. Our margins have slightly eroded, and that is the overall impact that you see on an annuity basis. We had to take some bold calls in the Q1 because all those deals that were pitched and structured in the JFM quarter of 2025, that is Q4 of 2025, which had a spillover into Q1 of 2026, we had to support the system integrator as well as the customers because of the dollar forex change. And also on the change of cost in the components and all. It didn't largely impact, but then Q1 was a slightly a hiccup for us.
Okay.
Just two numbers to what Mr. Sunil said right now. Q1, we have done a gross margin of around 6.8% on gross sales, while our overall average was around 9.1%. That was the main reason why there is a dip in the gross margin by 90 bps over last year.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Vaibhav Khandelwal with Laburnum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Another question that I had was in terms of the order book of 5,800 crores you mentioned. So am I understanding it right when you said that, 30-35% is the conversion ratio? So would that mean like roughly 1,900 crores just build over 3 years, so that implies a book-to-bill ratio 1:3. Like, how should I think about the 5,800 crore numbers and the conversion of that into revenue?
Yeah, so Vaibhav, let me explain you that 5,800 crores is not the order book, it is qualified leads or opportunities that we have in our CRM. Okay, so this would be over a period of 3 years, 5 years, and all. That is what is 5,800 has been captured. If you double click on that, you will notice that some deals would be for 3 years, 5 years. We will not know now. When it comes to closure is what we get to know the customer is going for upfront 5 years or 3 years or 2 years. But the overall qualified opportunities are about 5,800 crores. And of that, we traditionally estimate about
30-35%.
Yes, these are opportunities, not order book.
Understood. So that's helpful. And one more question, I think it mentioned in the previous question regarding gross margin that you took a call to, you know, in the Q1 of FY26 to take up on a deal at a slightly lower gross margin that you would typically do. Generally, what are the factors you want to should we look at when you're doing a deal? You know, what are the factors? It more ROC dependent that you would be okay taking a slightly lower margin if the working capital days are, such. So how do you think, how should we think about that?
Well, see, the Q1 dip, as I mentioned to you, there was a delay of material coming in. By the time when it came into the Q1, from Q4 of last year, when it came into the Q1 of FY2026, obviously the forex and all has changed. So we had to take those burden. So we carried that burden while we didn't make any loss, but then obviously there was a slight dip, as Farooq mentioned. But then as we have learned that in Q1, if you see in Q2, Q3, and Q4, the rest of the quarters, we have been able to plan well. We have been able to get those consignments in time, clear it within the given, so that it doesn't erode or it doesn't bite into our margins. That's how we have been protecting it, and I think we would continue that because we had a good learning from our Q1, and which we are taking care of this through discipline of managing these other factors that could potentially affect our deal.
All right, okay. Any outlook or guidance you'd like to offer for FY27?
Sorry, I didn't hear that very clearly.
Yeah, I'm asking, you mentioned that you expect FY27 to be better in, than FY26. Any numbers you'd like to put in terms of guidance for growth?
Yeah, so we would maintain our, or we would rather maintain and sustain our growth trajectory that we have mentioned to the market. We will continue to sustain and maintain that. Typically 18-20% on the top line and about 20-22% on PAT.
All right. Thank you so much, team. All the best.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Avnish Tiwari with Vaikarya. Please go ahead.
Hi. As you build out your business, are there some global peers or listed companies which we can look at, or you also look at, which you can try to do better or replicate some of their good strategies?
So, Amit, good evening. These kind of questions have been coming to us on and off I think for some reason we consider still very unique and a great differentiator in the market in which we conduct our business and the go-to-market strategy that we have. However, because we have been asked this question during our roadshows and all those things, we have potentially found two entities. I believe, I think, and I'm sure Saru would be happy to share that details with you right now. Saru.
Yeah. Amnish, just to add, right, if you see from a business perspective, the peers globally who offer a similar sort of value additions to the customers, we see players like Exclusive Networks and Infinite Computers. Exclusive Networks was what you call it as a listed peer when we filed our DRHP, but by the time we went IPO, they went private. So we don't have a respectable comparison there. Infinite, which is again a large player which operates in the European and the Middle East markets, is also a good comparison for us. Other than that, if you see the way companies, large companies like TD SYNNEX and Arrow operate, there are two ways of comparing it. Do they actually offer the same sort of value additions what they offer in the European markets and the mature markets like US in India? The answer is no. In India, they operate in a slightly different business model. These companies like Arrow and TD SYNNEX offer somewhat more value additions than they what they offer in India. And while they are not completely comparable to us, we can say that lack of any other comparison, if you have to see them, we can see them.
And why do they offer a lower value addition in India compared to US?
It's a business model, right? It's a business model. If, for example, if they do Arrow or TD SYNNEX, if they do 100 billion of business, their proportion in India is very less.
And in terms of activity or value addition component, what they don't offer in India, which they offer in US?
The entire the value addition which you're talking of pre-sales, you're talking of a COE, or we are talking of multiple, what you call as end customer focus and all that stuff. I'm not sure if they're offering everything in the US, but what I can definitely tell is they're offering more value additions in the US and the mature markets than in India.
And in terms of the
exactly on what is there and what is not there, probably they'll know it best.
In terms of the competition you face in your, let's say, the most important clients, who are the guys who come across as a competitor, whether you win or sometimes you lose to them?
Let me put it like this, right? Before I go in, let me clarify it. It is not Infinite Computers. It is Infinite Gate. Infinigate is the name of the company. Infinigate is the name of the company. Okay, it was my mistake, which I've said as Infinite Computers. It is Infinigate. Now, coming to the competitors per se, right? So you have to understand how the business operates. We work with system integrators, and system integrators in turn work with the end customers. If there is a significant amount of value addition which we are adding into that business, we have a higher leverage and we are having a higher chances of success in that deal. If in a specific opportunity, if there is no significant value addition done, that means the entire work of solutioning, the entire work of negotiating, drawing a BOQ, developing a BOM, everything is done by the system integrator himself and is looking at just what you call it as supply of goods or delivery of goods, then I am at a level playing field with any other typical distributor. But in scenarios where I add more value additions, yes, there will be a competition, but because of the value additions which I bring onto the table, I become that much more indispensable. Every OEM in India who sells their products, any large one, will have distributors, 3 to 4 distributors. So we will not be getting the entire 100% wallet share. We will be with the top 15-20 OEMs with whom we work. We can confidently say that we'll have the largest wallet share with them amongst all the other so-called as typical distributors.
You said physical distributor, right? You were using the word physical distributor?
No, I said a normal, typical distributor.
Typical distributor. Okay, got it. And so basically what you are saying is that whenever there is a level of value addition, your leverage is very high, and your win rate also is significantly higher. And yes, wherever this portion is lower, then it becomes a slightly even playing field. And there also you get your fair share of market because you have this large OEMs partnerships.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And maybe any other player in India which you regard as your competitor or any name you can take?
None in the listed space. I leave it there.
None in the... It's okay. Any private guy is also fine. It is to understand the landscape.
As I said, right, the entire business model of each organization is different. In certain private players, they might have something unique which we will not have. We will have something unique which they will not have. So it would not be a very, what you call a straightforward comparisons.
Okay, okay. Great. So basically you are saying that largely speaking, I saw that you said case study on your presentation, you said public sector accounts, which is a large bank, I'm assuming public sector bank. Is there... private sector, when you look at clientele you have, they are also, is it more larger companies or it's more medium-sized companies? Because larger companies may have their own people to do this, like system integration work, where they can try to squeeze more costs. Or your role actually is still very large in the larger companies in the private side.
It all depends on the definition of a large account. You know, as Sarup mentioned earlier, we work from mid-enterprise and above. So we are actually tapered to the top of the pyramid from mid-enterprise and above.
How do you define mid-enterprise?
Mid-enterprise would be like based on number of users or based on the budget of the customer. So if I have to give you a dollar parlance, maybe a mid-enterprise would be 5,000 users, or 5,000 users kind of?
5,000, sorry?
5,000 users, endpoints.
Got it, okay. That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Vinay Menon with Monarch Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. Couple of things from my side. One is, you know, we saw good margin improvement this quarter, and you know, Sarup sir mentioned that operating leverage will kick in going ahead. So what kind of margin on the gross level, gross EBITDA level can we look at, you know, in the next 2 years?
As Sarup mentioned, sorry, Sarup, go on.
No, please go ahead, son.
As Sarup mentioned, and I also mentioned, we will maintain and sustain the outlook that we have given to the market, and in terms of EBITDA, PAT, as well as the growth. So we will for sure sustain and maintain it.
Okay, thank you. And in terms of, you know, we're hearing a lot of opportunities open up in Middle East, you know, because of all these kind of war-related situation, you know, and cybersecurity and AI as a team are really doing well. So any plans of, you know, entering that region, and how will we go about it? And just to understand.
Vinay, we do witness what you're saying exactly. We see a kind of a traction there. We are actually observing them, but because of the current situation, we have just hibernated ourselves right now for the moment. Once the situation improves, and I'm sure that we are not going to shy away from exploring those markets.
Okay. And one last thing is, on the gross debt level, we have generally mentioned, you know, like maintained a 40 to 50 crore kind of gross debt, which is, you know, which is there for 26 as well. Going ahead in terms of, you know, growth, are we looking to take a bit more debt, or we are trying to kind of, you know, reduce this going ahead?
Our gross debt, which is there, is also cyclical in nature. Whenever there is a large deal is there, and when suddenly that large deal ka vendor payments become due, our debts move. So generally there are spikes and troughs. Q1 is an area where we have higher debts because Q4 is a time when we do larger deals, and those vendor payments and obligations come in Q1. So we'll have higher debts in Q1. But overall, if you see for the full year basis, we will be around that 40 to 60 crore benchmark only.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Maitri with Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, am I audible? Hello.
You are audible, ma'am. You may proceed.
Yeah, just lastly again on the gross margins. I'm sorry to ask the same question. But in the quarter four, we had quite a significant increase, and you mentioned that this is because of the negotiations on both the side and the vendors and the customers. So going forward, the deals that we probably acquire, do you expect these gross margins to stay stable at the net sale level of 30-34%, or maybe in the range of, or coming down back in the range of like the 2Q and 3Q gross margins level of 20-25%?
Okay. First, we will talk of our gross margins on gross sales rather than net sales. A net sale number, it's not a right representation of our gross margins in a full sense. So let us talk of gross margins on a gross basis. Yes, our Q4 gross margins have been around 12.5%, whereas our H1 average is around 8% for us. Historically, our Q4 margins are much higher than any other quarters. Because we have in certain OEMs, we have certain things called as a back-end rebates or volume rebates, which we get on achieving certain numbers and all that stuff. So that comes predominantly for us in the Q4. In addition to that, what happens is Q4 is the time when the budgets of most of our customers are closed. That is the time when we will have the pressures from the OEMs also. Some of the OEMs are Indian OEMs and all that stuff. They also would like to close their year strong. So we would be able to better negotiate with them, get better, gross margins on them. So overall, our business is a bit cyclical in nature, with H2 being stronger than H1, and margins also will be stronger for us in H2 than H1. Having said all that stuff, we would like to have our margins, or we believe that our margins will be around 10% is what we look in the short time future.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Melanie Mehta with Monarch Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations. So I just wanted to understand what kind of visibility are we seeing in this large enterprise deal?
Hi, evening. Good evening. In terms of, if you're asking the sectors that we operate, we see the BFSI vertical, again, enhancing their requirements. We see a lot of growth coming from there, pipe coming from there. We also see that cybersecurity will continue to dominate our business, followed by BCI and then the cloud business. Sequentially, this is how it's going to be, it works, and they'll be dominating our growth in financial year 2027.
Okay, and what would be the quantum of these large deals there?
When you, I don't know what would be the definition of large deals, but then, yeah, if you're referring to some marquee deals, yeah. Last year, we did have about close to 7 to 8 marquee deals, and we are estimating that this year, looking at the way the market is going, we see that we'll have similar set of deals this year also.
No, I mean the average deal size for these marquee deals.
Average deal size would vary from account to account. But then I wouldn't like to be caught with a ballpark figure that I would give here. But then, yeah, it would be a sizable deal, and as and when it would come up, and definitely we'll be happy to share that.
Okay, thank you. Rest of my questions are already answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rahul Kumar with Vakaria Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just one question, actually. If you look at our FY26 PAT, right, over FY25, I think there is a 10-12% kind of a growth, which is sort of lower versus what we have historically achieved all your guidance of, you know, 20-22% kind of a growth. So what were the factors which actually led to sort of lower growth in the past? And where do we stand on those factors at this point of time?
Rahul, I would like to correct your numbers here. Our reported PAT for the year FY25 was around 85.3. The PAT for this year is around 102.3 before the exceptional item. On like-to-like basis, if you compare it, our profits have gone up by 20%, not the 10%. That is point one. Okay. Even if I take the exceptional item, which is the 5.2 crores because of the new labor code, which I've spoken during my opening remarks, it is still has grown up by 15.5%, even after the, significant impact which we had because of the new labor code. So overall, our profits have grown at 20% on a like-to-like basis.
Understood. Perfect. Second question, I think if you can just give a split of, you know, our gross sales between BFSI, government, defense and enterprise.
So BFSI is one of the largest segments. BFSI constitutes around 40% of our total business. Government is around sub 20%. The next two large verticals for us are ITES and telecom. These two put together will be another 20%. And rest all other verticals, which are healthcare, automobile, pharma, everything will put together will be another 20%.
Okay. Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. We have no further questions, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Sunil, you want to? Thanks a lot.
Sarup, I think they are responsible.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Good evening to all of you. It's been nice interacting with all of you today. I would like to thank each one of you for participating and also thank all of you for your continued support. Yeah, over to you, Sarup.
Thank you, guys. We had a good year, and we are confident that the coming year also will be good. Thanks for all your support and time.
Thank you. On behalf of iValue Info Solutions Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you very much.